this is Robin Ayoub from the Localization Fireside Chat podcast and your favorite podcast host, I guess. That's what you guys told me, so I'm going to go what you guys are telling me. And thank you for joining me today on another recording of another episode on the channel. Today, we are recording episode 168, and I have the honor and distinct pleasure to have with me my good friend from Fredericton, New Brunswick, my hometown, Shana Emmanuel Okeke. And Shana, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time this Friday afternoon. I know you are 1 hour ahead of us, so must be closer to afternoon for you than it is for us here in Ontario. And hopefully it's a little warmer for you. Today, this morning, for the audience, I woke up at early in the morning and I went to my regular Starbucks in the morning. I don't know why I did that, you know, to go grab my tea, to be honest. But we have tea at home, you know, like everybody else. So why did I decide to go outside? Beyond me. I did. And I cranked my little car sitting in the driveway. Just didn't want to take. And then I drove out. Barely the car could start, but it did start. And we drove around just by past from my, I drove from my driveway into the main street, Shana. Yeah. And the car, now I'm in traffic. I tried to put the brake on. No brake. The brakes were frozen solid. I just had the car serviced. There's nothing wrong with the brakes, but it's so cold that you press on the brake, nothing. The brake doesn't even go down. The pedal just stays stuck up in the up position. And then there's an expensive car in front of me, so I didn't want to rear-end anybody. So I started using the emergency brake, you know, beside the seat. And then I put the hazard lights on and I pulled over and said, wow. And then I looked at the dash. It was minus 28.
Oh, boy.
For Ontario, I never seen this. It's crazy. Welcome to the channel.
No, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you didn't bump into that car. And you would imagine.
In the morning, I go for a tea. I end up preparing somebody's car like for $5,000. That's a hell of an expensive tea.
But you know what? You know what? That goes with a huge insurance payout afterwards. Because once you have a claim, your insurance skyrockets. So
I wouldn't. I try to avoid. It's an accident, right? So it's not like you do it on purpose, but. Most of these things, they happen, and what can you do, I guess?
Well, that's
welcome to the channel there, Shana. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
I met you like in the fall, right? In Toronto, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Now, Shana, as we say on this channel, let's get started with this. Everybody's got a story, and I know you told me this story, but the audience are really anxious to hear your story. So why don't we get started with this? What is your story?
Well, let me start with this. Thank you, Robin, for the opportunity to come on the podcaster. We've been waiting for this session since last year, before the holiday. But the good news is that we're here today, and that's quite excited. And look, I help our seed Series A, B founders turn their ambitions into investable and scalable businesses through financial leadership. And that mission is really very, very personal to me. And I'll tell you why, Robin. I grew up in a successful business family. Right. And my father built a multi-million dollar enterprise in the late 80s, but it collapsed in the 90s now because there was no system, and we had no growth strategy and no financial performance management, no financial leadership. Watching that happen taught me early in life that success without structure is very fragile.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, very fragile. And later, that led me to my career working alongside with the financial institutions, with founders, with non-for-profits, and with government and growing businesses. And this is what I saw across all the locations of Dubai, Canada, and Africa. What I saw was the repeating trend. And what was the trend? Great ideas fail. And they failed not because...
Why, in your opinion?
Not because they're bad ideas, but because they lack financial leadership. And this is why we formed the CFI Advisory Services, to help those businesses in front of CFOs that can help them with their financial leadership, not just bookkeeping.
So tell me a little bit about the CFO Advisory Services, which you talked to me a little bit about it before. How big is it? Where is it located? What do you do for them? What do you do for service for customers?
Well, the CFO Advisory Services, like I told you, was birthed out of the pain I had growing up. I've seen businesses fail, and I see that repeat that trend still ongoing. And so the thought was, why don't we build something that can really, really help businesses, create structure and get out of the nuance of failure, which has been repeated. We're based out here in New Brunswick, Fredericton. We've got loads going around. Currently, we're set up in Calgary, Alberta, which is a great place for us to have a niche created for ourselves. And we anticipate setting up in Toronto by Q2 2022. And now, because of the number of SMEs in Canada, we've got over 1.1 million employable businesses in Canada. And I believe what we're doing is great to provide financial leadership to those businesses.
Now, walk me through your journey a little bit, if you don't mind, Oshana. Walk me through the path that you went through. And what are the inflection points that actually mattered?
Well, the journey out, and I'll tell you this, what I've seen really around financial leadership or businesses or founders is they don't know what they don't know, and I tell them that. And I see this every day. And working in the financial services was a great precipitate, I was really lucky to have walked through those corridors, and walking through the financial services was a great eye-opener for me to see how businesses fail. And I tell you this, I did recall while in Dubai with the financial institutions, I got a call from a friend who said to me, "Hey, listen, I've got this guy he's got a good problem, a huge problem in terms of working capital." And he reached out to his bank in Africa. The bank priced 37% on invoice discounting, and that was quite a huge margin. That would really deplete his margin. And they reached out to me. And when they got to me, I revealed the client, and realized that the client was an investor-grade business. And I told them, listen, we can restructure the whole financial tool for you, or financial services, or the provisioning for you. And he was like, "How do you do this?" And I said, "Listen, you were a cocoa farmer. You supply to a multinational, investor-grade multinational company. And if we place an invoice discounting for you, what that does, I guess the risk of your client, what that does is that it's going to bring down the cost of our financing for you." And he was like, "Can we do that?" We did that for him. Now, guess how much we priced? Do you know how much we priced it? Yeah, 5%. So from 37% to 32%, sorry, to 5%. So that transaction or that structure knocked off 32% and gave him back that margin. So we see this all the time. Founders don't know what they don't know, and they oftentimes get into financial structure, which they don't understand. And so when we get to meeting with them, we help them appropriate the right financial structure and helping them. And that single transaction was great enough to leverage a good fund into his working capital and helping him grow.
What are you spending most of your time thinking about right now?
How to help founders, how to help businesses grow. We clearly do not have great financial leadership in Canada.
And do you feel like most founders, and you know, I've been working with them as much as you do you feel most founders are seeking help, or do they feel like they know everything?
Well, most founders are seeking help. I want to say that they're seeking help.
Because that's the story of a founder anyway. I'm not criticizing. That's the story of a founder. You got to be your HR department. You got to be your finance department. You got to be your production department. It's just like the story of an entrepreneur, isn't it?
It's quite a great journey, yeah. And you want to be your human resources. You want to be your finance guy. And I'll tell you this story. I went out for a program in Calgary last year and yep. Met lots of founders. And, you know, these are techie guys, and they were very busy with trying to commercialize their invention. But if you look beneath, it's quite a whole system, no structure, no strategy. So you don't know what you don't know, right? And you see that all the time. So it's often a problem because they want to be everywhere. You want to be your accountant. You want to be your finance guy. You want to be your HR. So that's often a struggle. And the thought here is to help founders recalibrate. Hey, guys, you are a great guy in terms of for technology. You cannot handle financial piece. You got to get a firm. You got to help get look out for financial leadership you really need to help you in the next growth strategy.
Have you ever taken on something and then you realized, Oshana, that this is not for me? How did you deal with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done that. I've done that lots of time. And I tell you, I tried to, the thoughts around the CFR advisory services, I tried to build this technology. We build the technology. And oftentimes, I tried doing that myself a couple of times. And I realized, look, I cannot be the tech guy because I don't have the tech expertise. The financial marketplace is quite a robust platform. I couldn't build a dashboard myself, and I can't get all that done. And so what I did was, what do I do to redefine the move? I had to employ, get the techie guys. And today we've got great brains driving a platform technology. So you got to let go. You need to understand that, hey, you can do all, you're not jack of all trade, right? So you can do what you can do. All right, get the masters to handle that for you.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the CFO advisory. What problem does it actually solve, or what problem are you set out to solve? And are people realizing they have a problem, or do you have to convince them you have a problem? I need to solve it for you.
Yeah, well, that's a great question, Robin. And people realize, like I said before, founders realize that they've got a problem. And the problem is quite clear. I see that trend all the time. And the problem is that founders lack the financial leadership. They do not have the requisite financial leadership. All right. I'm going to give an example. 2 years ago, a friend of mine who apparently is now a business partner reached out to me. We had coffee, and he ran me through his business. And what I picked up was a great problem, a huge problem around concentration risk, right? So that's overly dependent on one customer. And I see that across the board, lots of businesses.
One customer that represents 80% of the business.
That's correct. So I see that a lot in this part of the world.
I shouldn't laugh. I mean, but that's a problem.
Well, it's a menace. Not just SMEs, Robbie. I've seen that across corporations. Well,
most companies, I mean, there's a couple of industries in general, they are built that way. I was working in the localization industry up to October. I still am as a voice of the industry, but that entire industry is built on the 80-20 rules. There's another industry called the market research industry or marketing research industry, like, you know, your Ipsos Reads and all these companies. Those companies are also built on the 80-20. You know, the 80% of the revenue comes from the top 20 customers. That's it.
Right. Yeah, so it's a big problem. So that over-dependency on one source of revenue is a big problem in this part of the world. And so he reached out to me, and we're having coffee, and he did mention to me, hey, business is going great, and I like where I am at the moment. He's had this contract with the Fed for about 6 years, and he felt, well, that's great, all is going okay. And I said to him, look, Mike, what if the Fed pulls the plug? What are you going to do? And it didn't really sink at the point in time, because he thought, well, I've had this contract for about 6 years, and there's a huge need in the system for mental health services. Now, the story is that 6 months down the line, he reached out, and I said, hey, what's up? Can we have coffee one more time? I said, sure, let's do it. And he said, well, how did you know that the Fed was going to pull the plug? And how did you know that we're going to fail? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, they did it, like you said. Are you the man who saw tomorrow? And I said to him, well, I knew you had a great risk in your business. You should be diversifying your revenue stream. And while the long story short, he said, hey, we built this business. Can you come on board? Come on board and help me pull this together. So we got on board as business partners today. We've re-strategized, put the business in growth strategy. At that point in time, when the Fed pulled the plug, there was a great struggle around working capital. Payroll was a challenge, and that was a great problem, right? So cash flow was halted so badly. And so today we've got a huge cash flow stream to payroll, companies on a growth trajectory. And I'll tell you one more point, what I see, Robin, is that you've got often how businesses, our founders want to do everything of all trade. I saw it firsthand with my friend, Mike. He was into mental health. He's a clinician, and he did consulting, project management, and quality control. And I said to him, listen, Agape Professional Services is a brand no one knows. No one can really tell what you do around mental health. Can we carve out a mental health company out of what you do? And he was like, oh, yeah, let's do that. And so that gave birth to Steelshots Counseling Services. Steelshots Counseling is a great company today and carved out of that call for financial leadership, the call for business growth strategy, a call for financial performance management. Now, today we've got a business carved out of Agape Professional Services, who is a full-fledged standalone business and growing standard strong with good cash flow.
You know, You know, just an observation, I guess, and I'm not the first one to say that. Many people say that as well, that there is a huge gap from an education point of view on the financial side in society in general.
That's right. That's right.
So we teach our kids when they go to school about every topic. I'm not sure schools now are waking up and teaching like finance. They teach them math, of course, and how to add 1 + 1 and all that fractional stuff, which is, I hardly remember any of it from back in my school days. But the one thing that today we need the most of is financial education. Any comment on that?
Well, that's true. That's true, Robin. I see that all the time. Working alongside founders is a big problem because, you know, it doesn't really add up. Because you get out of school without great knowledge around finance. But this is what you do every day. You spend money every day. You need money to pay your next bill. You want to drink coffee. You wanted a coffee today, right? You need a fund. That's finance to pay for this coffee. If you hit that guy, you need your insurance will pump up and you need to work it around, right? So we need money every day. And that's the core of our livelihood. We're working for salaries to get paid. We're working to pay our bills. We're working to get married. You're working to look after your
whatever children. Your objective is, you're right.
Whatever the objective is, but you don't have great knowledge around finance. And I think is a clarion call. There's an urgent need for the government, for our children, our kids to be taught financial literacy. That's a big problem.
What do you think of somebody as an entrepreneur creating some sort of a school for young teenagers to come in and study as an extra credit or whatever it is, financial service, financial advice or financial matters, whatever they are, like how to run your checkbook, how do you build a budget, how do you invest for some reason? Now you hear like these, you know, I see them like on social media and I don't believe them, like young kids nowadays making $1 million on TikTok, stock tips and all that stuff. Yeah, it's 1 in a billion probably if it's true. I don't believe it's true, but let's say it is true and there's 1 in a billion kid that can do that. My point is there is a critical need for this. The society needs it. And I think there'll be a big opportunity for somebody to create some sort of a, I don't know what you call it, school or whatever it is, that teach, even an online thing, to teach people, I'm sure there are, to teach people how to handle financial situations.
Well, that's true. That's true. There is a huge need for financial literacy. Our kids don't have it. I see that every day. And it's a great point here. We're looking at building an ecosystem that provides that financial literacy, reaching out for partnership with their indigenous community, with government, and to build that strong partnership that potentially can help the kids, help the youths with providing financial literacy. And that's very, very important.
Now, when you built the CFO advisory, I'm assuming you built it yourself. And why didn't you not join somebody else, though?
Well, I couldn't join somebody else to do what they're doing because, again, you've got a niche here. Well, we've got lots of fractional CFOs out in the market too. But what we do is not hourly based reward. We're looking at outcome focused, right? So you've got different financial advisory services firm out there. Well, so they're looking at the bottom line in terms of how much they're going to make. We're creating value by outcome. And I tell you this, when first I met a couple of my clients, so I met let's say, Kenzie, a great friend of mine. And I said to him, look, I believe we're going to walk through based out of this objective. And this is what we want to get to. We're going to grow this business and we're going to achieve this. Do not pay me at that point in time. All right. What you potentially can do is, well, I need some percentage of your revenue. Do not pay for X number of hours, post the needs assessment stage and the business plan stage. You don't pay once we start putting the strategy in effect until we see that revenue coming on, right? So what I'm trying to say is we've got a different value propositions with so many other businesses. So we're very much dependent on outcome. What is the outcome you're looking at? How much do you want to scale? You want to move from $1 million to $5 million, measurable outcome. And that's what you want. We work through to help you get to that point.
Have you ever spoken to a customer, Oshana, and you probably thought, these guys don't know what I'm talking about? What is the most misunderstood about what you do when you're talking to others?
Oh, that would get that a lot. We get the example I gave to you was my friend who didn't understand what over dependency is with businesses. He didn't get that. an Italian short story while in the government. I was talking to a head of a crime corp, and they didn't understand what of a dependence it meant to you, right? And they were like, what do you mean by concentration risk? What do you mean by that? I did a quantitative and qualitative analysis review of the business, build a strategy. And one of the pointers I put up was, hey guys, you don't have a financial leader. You don't have a CFO. And I said to the accountant, why can't you do this? So, well, I'm not a finance guy. I'm an accountant. And he was right. And I told the head of the business, I said, well, yes, you need a CFO. You don't understand what overdependence is. You do not understand what concentration risk is. But the reality is that you've got a huge elephant in your books, which is really pulling you down. You need to turn things around.
I love that. Elephants in the books. We used to call it elephant in the room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm learning from you, Shin.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, so we see this all the time. You don't know what you don't know. And it's great if founders and CEOs or CEOs can really seek the right financial leadership they need to pivot their growth.
What's changing, do you think, right now in the market, in your market, most people are missing? Like, what are the people missing that, beside your friend there, what you told me, is there anything broader than that? Is there anything more general in the market that is happening right now on the financial side that people are missing? I mean, we all get the economic news, right? Inflation and all that general stuff, right? But is there other things that people are, like, when they're running their company, they're just not paying attention to?
Well, there's a lot. There's a lot people are missing out in the financial space.
And what assumptions, perhaps, if you can add, what assumptions used to be true, but no longer true right now?
That's all right. I didn't get that quite well.
Yeah. Yeah. What are the assumptions that people used to, and they think it was true, but no longer true right now?
Well, all right. So if you look at the current terrain around financial services or around different markets, the assumption is that I'm going to depend on the particular clients or particular markets, right? And I want to take a step back and lead you on this story, Robin. In 2015, I went out to traveled to one of the biggest economies of the world, had a client based out of Canada, and I said to him, well, have you tried the Middle East? There's a huge need for your product in the Middle East. He said to me, where in the Middle East are you talking about? I said to him, Dubai. And he was like, where the hell is Dubai in the map? And I said to him, well, Dubai is part of our United States.
Where's this person was? What was that person?
Well, he was a Canadian.
Okay, so he's from here.
He was a Canadian business.
And he said to you, where the hell is Dubai?
That's correct.
I'm shaking my head for the audience.
I saw Robbie, where is that? I want to believe he knows where Dubai is. But what I thought was, well, I'm comfortable where I am. I'm okay where I am today. Right, so I don't have any.
But many, not necessarily this particular person, but many people in Canada who owns businesses are comfortable where they are. And, you know, I don't know what it is. Maybe not all. I'm not generalizing here, but I've met a lot of them where they say, Robin, growth is not my strategy. I'm happy where I am. I'm comfortable. It's providing for me. It's providing for my family, the business, I mean. And I don't need to do many changes. It's okay. That's fine. I don't need to conquer the world. I don't want to be like the next whatever company in their industry is. They're just happy where they are.
But you need to be growth proof. You need to be.
Well, there's a bigger issue. If you're not advancing and you're standing still, that means you're on your way out.
That's right. Look at Nokia. Where is Nokia today?
Nortel. I mean, we can name a few of those. BlackBerry. There you go.
Where is my family business today? I told you. My dad built a multi-million dollar business, which pays out in the 90s. So you got to be very, very ready with the trend. What's happening in the evolving economy across the globe today? You can't depend on one. You can't have over dependency on one supplier, one customer. You can't depend on one product or service today. You got to really be very proactive around improving your revenue stream, your market, improve your supply chain, improve your customer base, improve the way you do things, your process, your people, your technology, your financial leadership. And that is very, very key in sustaining in this current economic landscape.
Now, we all be talking about AI like forever, right? Everybody, I feel like I'm talking about AI forever. How does AI change your space in a real operational way, not just to put a slide together? Do you deal with that? is a part of what you do.
No, so that's great. Now, I tell you, AI is a game changer, in our space. We need AI, and that's very, very important. And I tell you, a part of what we built, if you got into our platform, and we've got lots of other platforms, right? I don't want to call those names or mention those names. But what our platform does is the ability for you to journey through, get to what you want immediately. So AI spins out and recommends what's the suggestions in terms of what you need, the right CFO with the requested industry experience, and actually gives you insight and data and analyze what you really want to see. And so gives you that quick first-hand information without the need of going to plugging and chugging, right? So saves you about 90%, 95% of time. But all you need to do is to make sure that those data, those numbers are correct, right? So AI is great and is a great game changer in the terrain.
How do people get engaged with you? How do people do business with you?
Right. We go out for coffee a lot. We build partnership. Right? So we do lots of partnership.
So they reach out to you on LinkedIn, Uchenna, or get in touch with you that way if they're interested in CFO advisory?
That's correct. They reach out to me on LinkedIn.
And for the audience, if you want to get a hold of Uchenna and you can't find him, he's connected to me. So get a hold of me. Tell me you want to talk to Uchenna and I'll introduce you.
That's great.
Now, one more item for you, well, a couple more items for you, is looking ahead. Let's take a look ahead and see what's going on. What does the next 12 to 18 months look like for you and for your company?
Well, thank you. We put up a strategy. We just had a 3 days offsite session at Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday Golf. And the strategy is to get our presence strong in the Canadian market. And by Q3 2026, we anticipate getting to the American market Q3, Q4 2026. Consolidated position. We currently build a partnership out in the US market. Mm-hmm. And 2027, we're looking into getting so strong into the Middle Eastern market. So Dubai or the Qatar, we currently building partnership already in those markets. So we want to become that global CFO advisory services provider you want to get to.
And if you were to be advising somebody today who's building a business, what would you push them to focus on?
Get the right team, get the right people. The right process, get the right financial leadership you need. Don't be jack of all trades.
Anything I didn't cover?
Well, you've done a whole lot. I want to speak to the landscape of the Canadian economy, Robin. If you look at where we are today, we've got lots of job losses. The economy is a bit shaky. But if you look at that landscape, we've got lots of SMEs, about 1.1 million SMEs in Canada today. And that bifurcation says a small SMEs are 1 to 9 employers. And the medium would be 100 to 499 employees. And then the large would be 500 and above. If you look at all of these, and what they provide in the economy is huge. They've got great capacity. Now, SMEs in Canada provide at about 50 plus, or about 58% of employers. Sort of employees. So in terms of employability, they provide 58% of employment in Canada. And then if you looked at the GDP from the private sector end, that's about 50%. So 50% GDP from the private sector end, and then they're about 58% of employees in Canada are housed by SMEs. If the government, or if we, I recommend we put up a strategy around helping these SMEs. Right. So if we did 20% of those SMEs and help provide financial leadership to those SMEs, you would imagine what's going to happen in the economy, Robin. That would change the whole lot. That would add a whole lot to employment. And that will reject the GDP, or the private sector GDP in Canada, and position this country on a great growth trajectory. And so we need to look after SMEs. It's a great, great place to really, really have a great policy that supports SMEs. I also want to talk to the government or potentially to companies. One of the problems, I was in Calgary last year, the call was for SME participation in government and procurement, and the military procurement. And one of the questions I did ask the moderator was, but the call for SMEs to participate in government procurement is a great idea, but have you thought about the problems and the challenges SMEs face day to day? They said, no. I said, do you know that if we supplied, I as an SME, for example, supplies the government a product, it takes about, or service, it takes about 30 days or plus for the government to pay, or more for companies to pay. What if you put up a policy that pays SMEs 5 days after supply. Do you know what that does to SMEs? That's going to open up lots of cash flow. That's going to unlock cash flow for SMEs. They're going to have enough cash flow going in for them. And if you have good cash flow for SMEs, more jobs are going to be created, more opportunities for SMEs, more jobs created, and more addition to the GDP of the country. And so we kind of look at that space. It's a great space to really look into. With lots of potential. We just need to provide the right financial leadership for this segment. And I believe with this, we're going to grow. We're going to grow the economy. We're going to grow more employment. So we're going to make people happy. We're going to take over reduced job losses in the market.
You know, and I've talked to many of those SMBs, and most of these companies, they struggle on the financial side. Because in addition to what you just mentioned, there's the added complexity of trying to go to a financial institution and get a line of credit, or that is a nightmare and a half in Canada. And let me tell you, because I've experienced it. It is one of the most impossible thing to do in Canada is to go as a small business owner to a bank. And with all the respect, I love them all. They made it pretty much impossible to give money to a small business. What they are asking for then from a qualification perspective to get financial credit, let's say from a financial institution, if you take what the banks in Canada asks the small business to provide before they can approve their loan, by then the small business doesn't need the financial institution's support. Because if they're doing so well in their financial statements, why in the bloody hell they need a bank? I don't think they need a bank. Now, when somebody, a small business, they require a financial support from a bank loan, or, you know, we all default back to the government supporting these loans through various programs. And those supports are very tiny. You know, small business gets what, $25,000, $50,000 from the government? And, you know, what do they do? Buy a pizza oven with that? I have no idea. Like, does everybody now work as a pizza oven people? Most businesses are being created in the startup community right now. They have nothing to do with restaurants. They have more to do with tech, healthcare, financials. There's a lot of people are creating professional services that got nothing to do with your basic business. I want to open a convenience store. I want to open a pizza shop, or I want to open a restaurant, or I want to buy a restaurant. It doesn't matter. When I get going on the friggin' problem that we have in Canada, and I look at other countries, you know, you look at other countries like south of the border or any other country, the barrier to entry from a financial institution perspective is much less complicated than it is in Canada. Now, there is ways to do it in Canada, but you got to go pay a consultant like $50,000 to go get you the loan, and then he has to charge you the $50,000 to get you the loan.
Yeah. Well, that's true, but I'm going to speak to this, Robin. The problem here is that the banks or investors are very agnostic. They're very careful about who they lend to, right? You would imagine looking at the probability of default, right? So if we gave you that fund, if a bank gave you that fund, are you going to pay? Do you have capacity to pay, right? Mm-hmm. Or if an investor deploys funds into your business, what about the probability of default? What about the loss given default? So we look at all those. Well, how much impact does it create? Do you have capacity to pay? And so banks have got those bad loan or bad debt provision, which is quite tight, right? And so and that is a problem we have. We provide funding and investor readiness. And what does that mean? We're joining with businesses. And how do we do that? We look at how you do your business. We do quantitative and qualitative analysis. Unpack your numbers, that's the data, right? And then unpack the qualitative end of the story. Look at your business, your operations, the people, the management team, the services, your market, your client, your suppliers. Look at all that, the governance structure. So we look at all that and say, well, hey, I suppose Robin Limited is a manufacturing business, and then Robin wants funding. What we do for Robin is to do that, provide that strategy. Once we unpack those numbers, we build a strategy and say, hey, Robin, this is what you need to do to help you with your next growth. This is what you need to do. Robin says, well, I can't do that. I'm not a finance guy. Can you help me? And then we begin to help you with managing your financials. And to do this, the essence is to help you get funding ready or investor ready, because we know the numbers. We need to check the list. And so when you get to the bank, you're ready for investment or for funding. And this is very, very important. So you don't really blame the banks that much. Sometimes when the banks say, well, you got to get me 50,000 in the bank before I give you 50,000. That's the security we need, right? So that's a default, right?
Yeah.
So we need to lend, because lots of default out there in the market.
Yeah.
But you got to go to the funders, you got to go to investors already.
All I'm talking about is another challenge that SMBs are facing. Yeah. You know, beside all the challenges that they're facing as a small to medium enterprise, and you're trying to build yourself or try to create something that hasn't existed before, or whatever the service or product you're trying to create. Sorry. On top of all this, you need to worry about, and big worry about, you know, how to survive through all this. You need some cash. And obviously, many companies go to government for grants. And let's be frank and honest about this one. Many government grants get written off. And many, you know, I don't know that for sure 100%, but I can tell you based on separate conversations that they're not on the books, that their side conversation with many government officials would say that, yeah, there are companies that at the end of the day, these loans are guaranteed loans through banks or whatever. They can't pay them. And the government end up writing them off. Canada's not the only country within that frame of business model. Many other countries have the same business model where you would lend businesses as a government some money, and good luck returning them, because one of the missing pieces is in many of those, and I don't know if you guys tackle that, is commercialization project and commercialization plans for these. Basically, where are you going to get the money so you can return your loan? Don't know. It seems to me, back in 2007, 2008, I was invited by the Greek government to go to Greece specifically on this topic. And the problem back then, they have lended a whole bunch of money to entrepreneurs, to idea per people, to develop their ideas, to establish their businesses. And they were at just a time that they were just switching to the European, from being outside of the European Union back into the European Union. There was a lot of changes going on there. And none of these, and I remember meeting with like so many of them, entrepreneurs. And the biggest question was, how do I sell this? Okay, you've got a great idea. Did you ever think who's going to buy it? There are many examples, business examples of people creating ideas, beautiful, fantastic ideas. Nobody wants to buy it.
That's great.
Do you know what I'm saying?
That's true.
So the point I was trying to make is it works both ways. As a business owner, yeah, I mean, there are many countries out there. Well, these programs are not available. Maybe we're spoiled in Canada. I have no idea. There's like 300 countries outside of Canada. Give money to a business? What are you, crazy? We're not going to do that. There is no programs of such. Yeah. But in Canada, since the program is are available, we were talking about them, I guess.
Yeah. we've got lots of programs available, Robbie, but the mode of delivery, the service delivery, remains a problem. We have to deliver those programs appropriately and very strategically to have a better result. If we keep doing the way we currently, the current process status quo, the status quo is not working. We need to pivot to do something different.
Now, let's ask you a few personal questions. What habit that keeps you sharp? Do you have a simple habit that keeps you sharp?
Well, yes. I try to listen to your podcast.
Thank you. Wow. The first guest that comes on the channel says, oh, to stay sharp, you listen to my podcast. I love you, man.
Yeah. Well, listening to news, getting well and trends with the financial community, the trends, what's happening, business events, you know, collaboration, building partnership, is very, very much with our strategy or with our strategy. And we send that working, because that really connects with the people you want or you need, helps you understand the industry trend and where there are opportunities.
Thank you. Do you have any book, any favorite book?
There you go. The Tipping Point.
Oh my God, I have the same one.
You have that, yeah.
Yes. The Tipping Point, yeah, Malcolm, right?
Yes, yeah. Malcolm Gladwell.
And do you have the other one called Hope Is Not a Strategy?
No, I haven't read that before.
Oh, you got to try that one. Key Performance Indicators.
That's right.
That's a university style.
No, it's by David Pimenter. It's quite a great book to read. Yeah. Developing, implementing, and using winning KPIs.
Yeah, this is cool.
Very important. Oh, yeah, that's very important. So
very good.
I like the tipping point. It's quite a great book to have.
Very interesting point. Well, I want to thank you so much, Hussein. I really appreciate it. That was a good conversation. What do you think?
No, I did like it, Robin. It's quite a great conversation.
Easy, right? Yeah. It's not complicated.
Oh, yeah.
By design, by the way.
Nice, nice. No, I like the Riverside and the chat we had. The thought here is to help as many SMEs as possible, help them with financial leadership they need, that growth strategy, helping them with investment and funding readiness. And that's very, very important. We don't have lots of businesses in that remit at the moment. And that's why you see the US market doing fantastically well. But that's the reality. They're doing great in terms of for SMEs and investment markets. We need to get to that space quickly from the Canadian end.
Absolutely. To Oshana Okiki, my guest of honor today, I want to thank you so much for being part of this conversation. I really appreciate it. Thanks for taking time on Friday to join me on this dialogue. I learned a lot from you.
Thank you.
I hope the audience did as well. To the audience, I want to thank you so much for listening in. If you're coming on YouTube, thank you so much for watching us, and thanks so much for making us part of your educational journey. And if you're coming on the podcast audio piece on the audio streams, you can listen to our audio on any stream you like, Spotify, Applecast, you name it. And thank you so much for making us also part of your journey there. I also publish a blog post summarizing the conversation with our guests. It's available on robinayoub.blog. You can read a Cole's note, a summary version, if you will, of our podcast. If you don't have time and you want to skim through what Hussein Okiki and Robin Ayoub have discussed today, it would give you probably a 2-minute read. It's sitting on my blog post site, robinayoub.blog. Again, you can find it there. I also produced close to 25 to 30 short videos of each conversation. Make sure to check out those short videos on YouTube. Those are small, consumable contents. You don't have to spend an hour listening. You can chunk it up and you can listen to it in small pieces at your leisure. Thanks again for making us also one of the hottest now podcast in the world. I think we just got ranked. Somebody was telling me the other day that the publicist did the research on the conversational podcast type, and we ranked 5 in the world today. In certain industry, number 1, but globally, across all industries, I think the individual was telling me that we're number 5 right now. So thank you again. I really appreciate it. And I'll see you at the next episode. Oshana Dongo.
Well, that's a great milestone, Robin. Let's do this again.
I would love to. Say hello to everybody. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Just stick around for a second.
All right.